Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
Have you heard anything about this Silver Dave, this Robert Kraft guy?
I haven't heard anything about the prostitution in relation to him.
Yeah, I didn't know who he was until this article came out.
Well, when you said the name, it sounded like someone who is rich and famous. And now that you've connected, you know, we're talking about someone who's rich and famous.
Yes.
Which really makes me wonder how he has, I mean, he ultimately, when you're that powerful and wealthy, you still are paying for sex, in my opinion.
Probably.
In a way.
I suspect.
Even if it's not a direct contract for, like, here's what I'm going to pay you and here's what you're going to do. It's just like, I have a lot of money. You want money.
Well, yeah.
You find me attractive because I have lots of money.
They have girls that call themselves sugar babies.
Yeah.
Have you heard about this?
Oh, it's like a sugar mama, only more young and fresh.
Well, a sugar mama, well, I don't know, how'd you define a sugar mama? I guess a sugar mama is like a woman who gives you money, right?
Oh, yeah.
A sugar baby.
A sugar daddy.
Right. The sugar daddy
has the money. Sugar mama's got the money.
Right. So the sugar daddy has the money, and they have these sugar babies. And so that's where, you know, Cody Wilson, for instance, who we've had on in the show in the past, the guy who created the 3D printable gun last year, he got arrested for having, I believe she was 16, allegedly, a 16-year-old young lady meeting with her through a website, which the website purportedly helps people who want to be sugar daddies, or who are, meet with these young women who want to get money.
This guy, Kraft, he's got a lot of money.
Yes,
so, of course, he's got a good legal defense fund, and so his lawyers are going to pick apart every bit of this investigation. So if you were Joe Schmo and you got picked up for this, then you're going to take a plea deal.
That's right.
Because your court defense lawyer shows up in moccasins, and you're like, oh, I'm in major problem. This is my...
You may have a public defender.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Your public defender shows up, and this guy, you know, doesn't know what he's doing. This guy's got a lot of money he can spend on it, so he's going to get a better defense. Of course, they're gonna tear apart the police investigation.
Well, I remember the last story we talked about this guy's investigation was they'd offered him a sweet plea deal.
Mm.
They'd already come to the table and said, "Hey, look, we'll make it so you don't have any penalty whatsoever, not even a suspended sentence." All you have to do is admit that you did it.
Just say you're sorry.
Right. Just admit that we were right and that you were guilty of prostitution. And dude was like, I'm going to trial. And so now we start to hear the details in the case. Because once you're willing to go to trial, then what opens up is something called discovery. Illegal video recordings to illegal traffic stops. Apparently, the case against Robert Kraft has all of that. And we're going to tell you more from the Sun Sentinel. This was the man arrested earlier this year. I think it was earlier this year. For alleged using a prostitute's services in a day spa in Palm Beach County. The prosecutors say it was simply Kraft's bad luck and bad timing that he happened to be in the Orchids of Asia day spa when secret police cameras were turned on. But another view is that it was their terrible luck that Kraft, a 77-year-old who has a home in Palm Beach, was among the people Jupiter police caught in the act. In all previous prostitution stings at South Florida massage parlors, including a few with similar sneak and peek warrants for secret cameras, the cases resolved quietly and mostly out of the spotlight. Which is what I was talking about earlier. People want to take a plea deal. They want to get this over with, especially a charge like prostitution, because you're not going to find many people who are like proud that they used a prostitute. I don't know why they shouldn't be. I mean, whatever. I mean, there have been plenty of people who've pointed out that the reason they'll use a prostitute is because you can send her home afterwards.
It's fast and efficient.
Right. You don't have to spend any more time on that relationship than you absolutely want to. So for somebody like Robert Kraft or anybody else who's time challenged, this, you know, makes sense. In February, law enforcement agencies publicly revealed they hid recording devices during investigations of 10 spas from Jupiter to Orlando. They said massage parlor. And what I want to know is, how did they do that exactly? How did they gain access to these businesses, private businesses, in order to hide their recording devices there? Did they go as clients? And while the girl was out of the room or whatever, or hadn't come into the room yet, You know, I don't know what this is. I don't know. I've never been to a massage parlor. I don't know what the process is like. I don't know if you're waiting in there. You know, like if you go to a doctor's office, half the time you're waiting in there alone, right? Like you're waiting in a room for a doctor to come in. So you have a few minutes, right? If you wanted to pop something up on top of a shelf or something like that, nobody would be the wiser unless they're monitoring with their own cameras in the room. So I don't know how they pulled that off. They said massage parlors were shut down, and several women were charged with pocketing hundreds of thousands of dollars from running the prostitution businesses. Nearly 300 men were charged overall across Florida. Officials said their efforts were aimed in part at targeting suspected human trafficking at the massage parlors. But did they actually arrest anybody for human trafficking? Doesn't sound like it. I mean, we didn't hear any of those allegations. They didn't say Robert Kraft was having sex with a sex slave. They just said he was guilty of prostitution.
I've heard you guys talk about Arrowwood.org.
Yeah.
First of all, how do you spell that?
E-R-O-W-I-D.
That's right. E-R-O-W-I-D.org. Great site.
E-R-O-W-I-D.
Arrowwood.org. I don't know where the name comes from. It sounds like, you know, some sort of... what's it? The guy that wrote the Lord of the Rings. It sounds kind of Tolkien, Tolkien-esque. But I have no idea.
Yeah.
It's a drug information site, a useful site that's been around for a couple decades now, I think, that has all kinds of frequently asked questions about a variety of drugs, including, you know, of course, psychedelics and such, illegal drugs. But also there's even information about many prescription medications there as well. Very, very useful.
Yeah. And one other question, I think I've heard you guys say before that you can send things to them to have it tested.
Oh, you know, no. Although Arrowwood, I believe, is a supporter of the testing site. You know what? They may be an actual like financial supporter. I'm not sure what the relationship is. There may be a relationship between ecstasydata.org, that's the testing site, and Arrowwood.org. There may actually be a relationship. The more that I think of it, I think that there actually is.
There are tests that you can get. Isn't there? There's a company, Dance Safe, right? Isn't that the...
I think they're tied in with it. I think they work with them.
Yeah.
What did you say that?
Dance Safe, I believe, is where you can get tests from.
Oh, you're talking about home testing.
Yeah, home testing.
At home test.
To order your own home test.
Those aren't bad, as I understand it. The chemicals, from what I'm not a chemist, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm not a scientist.
Yeah. Oh, really?
But, I'm just a talk show host. But as I understand it, those chemists or those chemicals that you order, they have a shelf life on them. Mm-hmm. And it's not particularly long, so... Unless you're testing drugs pretty often with a home testing kit, if it's just sitting on the shelf for 6 months or whatever, it's probably not worth doing. And it's going to be a better test when you send it into the lab because they're using like real fancy, I think they call it mass spectrometer, chromatograph spectrometer, like high-end testing equipment to where they give you an absolute readout of exactly. I've done these at-home drug tests before, and you're like, you got to put the crush up the pill on a white plate and drop the droplets on it. You got to watch the chemical reaction, see what color it is, and you got to kind of match it up to a color chart, and
red to you. Yeah.
Arrowwood might be the last names of the executive and technical directors of the site.
While having drugs or buying drugs may be a crime, it's in my mind, nothing is a crime unless there's a victim. And in this case,
user is not.
And actually, I wanted to take this opportunity to point out something that I think is really worth noting about this subject. And it applies to prostitution as well as... the drugs.
Yep.
The only reason that the drugs are potentially dangerous, in my opinion, is because they're illegal. So, like, for example, if...
Well, cocaine, that's one reason for sure.
Well, yeah. But so, like, for example, if cocaine or heroin or whatever was not illegal and you could just buy a pound of it at the grocery store, then you would actually know what you're getting because...
Correct.
The manufacturers would... You know, manufacturers who, say, put cutting agents in there and so forth would get discovered, and other companies who made better quality product would attract more customers.
And you don't buy a bottle of aspirin off the shelf at Walgreens and wonder what's in it. You know exactly what's in it.
Yes, exactly. And you guys kind of taught me that, by the way.
We're helping.
seriously. That's not a joke or whatever. Anyway, and on a related side note, by the way, having a vape pen that has marijuana in it,
yeah,
in Texas is a felony.
My God. Texas is just a crazy place.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy. So I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
I think there's a such thing as a senior of Olympics, and I think Albuquerque, we're going to break the record of the largest senior Olympics being held, I think, starting this week.
Boy, I am so uninterested in the Olympics generally. I can't imagine being interested in the Senior Olympics either, but, you know, good for them. I think it's great that people are getting out there and doing stuff.
Oh, here comes Myrtle. She's ahead. She's in the lead. Oh, wait, no, she just broke her hip.
They're
probably
in better shape than I am. I mean, I'll be honest.
You know, the reason that it's interesting is that 1,500 of the members are from here, from Albuquerque. So
Jesus.
The reason that we can hold
how many people compete in this thing?
Well, I guess with walkers and canes and, you know, broken. I have no idea.
No, I asked how many people. You said there were 1,000 members. Does that mean that they're all competing, or that they're like members in the Oldster Olympics supporters group or something like that? Or like, I don't know what that means.
One thing is that 1,500 of them live here in Albuquerque.
Right, that's what I'm saying. How many people are in the normal Olympics? Like, when they have the regular Olympics, how many competitors? I mean, I know they have a lot of different events, so I presume there's quite a few, but is it in the thousands? How many of these Olympic
people are there? I'm looking at, like, maybe a couple thousand are from elsewhere that are flying in, renting out hotels. So this is a revenue, money-making, economic boost for Albuquerque.
Officials said their efforts were aimed in part at suspected human trafficking at the massage parlors. They pointed to state health department inspections, suggesting that sex workers from Asia were living at the businesses. Well, that doesn't mean... Okay, this is what the police are constantly doing, and there's some quotes from them coming up here. But they are constantly trying to equate legitimate sex work, like, and what I mean by that is voluntary sex work. People whose career, chosen career, is to provide sex to other people for money. That's what they do. Now, whether they do it legally or not is another question. Most places it's illegal, but, you know, in Vegas, or I guess not Vegas, but in Nevada, in parts of Nevada, it's legal. In other parts in Europe, it's legal.
And in places where it's legal, the girls get regular STD testing, mm-hmm, and it's safe, and you know what you're getting. Versus the places where it's illegal, it's really dirty and really nasty. And so, like, the fact that diseases are more existent, you could thank the laws
absolutely
for that.
Thank the police.
And so, like, thank the police
next
for
time
making
you get
it
some
more
BD
dangerous
from a prostitute
for you to have sex with someone who's not a prostitute, even, because it all travels and spreads to outside of that. So, you know, so, like, every time you do anything and it's more dangerous,
thank
a policeman.
Yeah, exactly.
And a question was brought up, well, how do you know if a person was, like, sex trafficked or whatever, sex trafficking? You know, they would be able to say this person doesn't have their papers, you know, their documents to be an American, naturalized, whatever person. So, like, I feel like they could identify that.
Maybe.
They could have quantifiable number. If they actually saved anybody, there's a way that they could identify that they found, you know.
Well, the woman could claim it. She could say, hey, I'm a victim here.
That's a good point, too. Yeah. But it doesn't sound like that
happened. And how many times do you think that's happened where the policeman, like, yeah, right, lady. And then they just throw the book at her.
So what you're saying is if they found an actual victim of this, that they would then profit from using her.
Yes, of course they would. Yeah. So
I'm just saying that they would basically be prostituting her.
In a way, yeah, for their benefit. After judges approved the sneak and peek warrants, police used tactical ruses. Here you go, Dave. Here's how they did it. It's what we were wondering about earlier. So they could install the cameras in the massage rooms and the lobby. The cops said they needed to investigate a suspicious package, creating a bomb scare. They scared these women. They scared these businesses into thinking somebody had called in a bomb threat against their business. Can you imagine that? That is scary. And coming from the police, you'll believe
it. They lied.
Yeah, they lied.
They lied. Yep. And they said, that's terrible.
Yep. So they sent the bomb squad in with cameras while the place was evacuated. And that's when they did the dirty deed of planting the cameras in the rooms. Once the cameras were rolling at Orchids of Asia, Robert Kraft arrived at 4:44 in the afternoon on January 19th at about 11 a.m. on January 20th. So he actually went there more than once. Prosecutors described the encounters in graphic detail, noting how Kraft paid in cash, then got completely naked for sex acts. The videotaping of the business lasted for 5 days, leading to the charges against Kraft and 24 other men. Prosecutors argued that Kraft lacked a, quote, legitimate claim to an expectation of privacy, and even less so because he was present on both occasions to conduct criminal business transactions, unquote.
All these people that went to this massage parlor to just get regular massages, they were recorded unknowingly, so they were violated. And then that also makes me think about even more. How far does this go? Does this mean that they can install cameras in the bathroom because they think that there might be prostitution going on in the bathroom at Walmart so that they put cameras in there? In the stall? Yeah, like how far can they go?
Good question.
And this is just like, think about how many people were violated by the police. I mean, if they caught hundreds of people, that makes me feel like thousands of people were recorded that didn't do anything wrong, that were violated. Like, that's just horrible.
Yep. That's a great point.
I think that's really bad. And that, to me, like, those police should be arrested.
Well, it's probably not going to happen, but there is a lawsuit, okay? And they actually touch on that coming up here against the police,
like,
but it's
personal,
a civil suit.
They should personally be sued.
Yeah, if only you could. You can't. Unfortunately, they have what they call, like, sovereign immunity or whatever. There's these qualified immunity. There's these different types of legal protections that bureaucrats have. That you and I don't have. And so simply because they're the police, and in a lot of cases, all they have to do is say that, well, we thought it was legal what we were doing. And then they just are not held responsible for anything that they do.
Imagine if you are like the police chief and you had a bunch of officers working under you that got involved in things that were, you know, very dirty. You probably didn't want to bust them because it makes you look bad as a leader.
It would go public too, right?
And yeah, like then here's this. So they kind of have to like cover it up and just kind of keep it in-house. So like, you know, you can imagine that the guys that are doing the investigation, they don't like to bust each other because it makes them look bad.
Right.
So it just makes you wonder how much more do these guys do that we don't know about? And I bet it's a lot.
Yep. I bet you're right about that. After the Kraft case made headlines, some of the innocent people, who again, the people who were just in the massage parlor for an actual real massage, sued the Jupiter police and the state attorney over the videos. That case is still pending. Hanser signed an order temporarily restricting prosecutors, this is a judge, from releasing to the public the videotapes featuring Kraft over the objection of media outlets, including Sun, Florida Sentinel. Media lawyers argue the public has a right to see the evidence in a pending criminal case. Kraft's lawyers now want to have them permanently sealed. Another controversial aspect of the case is how Jupiter police officers pulled over the cars of the people who had just left the spa. Prosecutors explained that the cops weren't going after actual traffic violations. It was just a legal way to obtain the identities of people who were videotaped committing crimes.
At this massage parlor, it is standard to take off your clothes.
Right.
So they installed secret video. They lied. First of all, I think lying is wrong. I think lying is not morally right.
But they can do it legally.
But they can legally lie, which already I feel like when the people who supposedly are supposed to force morals upon people are immoral themselves.
And everything else they do is
awful. Everything they do is wrong. But then they're putting they lied to put secret cameras in a place where people knowingly undress. Even people who are not doing anything wrong, this actually makes me think, where else are the cameras? When you go to the bathroom at Walmart, are there cameras in there? If they're suspicious that something is happening at Walmart, are they going to put cameras in there? When you go to the bathroom?
Because sometimes people have sex in bathrooms, right? They have sex.
Sure. So does that mean that if the police suspect that there's a Walmart employee somewhere that's like selling a sex service there, that means they're going to install cameras?
It's crazy. It's creepy.
And that's really creepy because I feel like there's obviously a lot more than we know about. There's always more that
we don't
know. Well,
plus you know that the cops are sort of notorious for being horn dogs themselves, a lot of them.
Tomasticles Villanueva, a representative with the Morena Party, said, "It's a first step that has to lead to regulation of sex work, to fight human trafficking and strengthen the rights of sex workers. Exercising sexuality in our country is still a taboo topic that few of us dare to talk about."
A lot of Catholics, right, down mm-hmm. in Mexico. It's yeah. a very popular religion down there, and so that's probably part of the explanation as to why it is so taboo.
Ironically, there are a lot of whores featured in the Catholic, you know, Catholicism, right?
Is that right? I don't know.
A whore of Babylon.
Okay.
You know, like Jesus, you know, hung out with prostitutes. These are all things that are right. sort of commonly known.
No, Jesus hung out with the prostitutes. He did not arrest the prostitutes.
Yeah.
He did not molest the prostitutes. He did not, you know, kidnap the, you know, and abuse them. He tried to convert them or whatever, tried to be kind.
Accept them,
to them
for yeah. what they were doing.
Right.
So, exercising, he said, I guess he goes on, Villanueva added, exercising sexuality in our country is still a taboo topic that few of us dared to talk about. According to The Guardian, Mexico is listed as a tier two nation in the U.S.'s trafficking in persons report, meaning it does not meet the minimum standards for the elimination of trafficking, but it is making significant efforts to do so.
Like here in New Hampshire, it's illegal to conduct prostitution. As a John or a prostitute. However, when they've had the hearings on decriminalization here, there are some sex workers who will come out, not from New Hampshire, that come from like Rhode Island or other states, sort of like sex worker spokespeople for the various different organizations mm-hmm. that represent sex workers. You know, people, ladies who are usually like retired or whatever, they're not in it anymore, but they'll come out and they'll say, all these claims the police are making about sex trafficking, it's bunk. That's not to say it's impossible that somebody is out there being sex trafficked. Obviously, it does happen. But of the people that they've worked with, of the, you know, the prostitutes they see in the streets, of the prostitutes that they know, they're there voluntarily. The super majority of them are there because they want to do that work for whatever reason. Now, maybe they're there because they're drug addicted and this is a way for them to, you know, their pimps give them drugs or whatever. But that's still a voluntary choice. That's not sex trafficking.
Right.
Sex trafficking is when you are enslaved by somebody and you are told that if you leave, either something bad will happen to you or something bad will happen to your family. That's usually from the, you know, the stories we've read over the years about this topic. That's why, you know, because you would ask yourself, well, why doesn't the girl just run away?
Right.
Well, the reason why is because they're told, we're going to kill your sister. We know where your little sister lives. We know where your mother lives. We know where your family lives. We're going there.
Decriminalization bills have been introduced in Maine and Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. A similar bill is expected to be introduced to the city council in Washington, D.C. in June, and lawmakers in Rhode Island held hearings in April on a proposal to study the impact of decriminalizing prostitution.
If New Hampshire is again the last state in New England to decriminalize prostitution, it'll be so frustrating.
Yeah. New York may be next. Democratic lawmakers are about to propose a comprehensive decriminalization bill that would eliminate penalties for both women and men engaged in prostitution, as well as the Johns whom they service.
That's great news. And by the way, like, I've never been interested in hiring a prostitute. I'm not, you know, that's just not something I want to do. I'm not going to get all excited because I want to do it and I just haven't because it's illegal. I mean, you know, anything you want to do, most people are going to do it, whether or not it's legal is, you know, not right. really a factor for most people. But I celebrate this because I know it's good for the people in that business. I know mm-hmm. it's going to, as you pointed out earlier, Dave, it's going to lower the incidence of sexually transmitted diseases spreading around. That's good for everybody when that happens. It's going to lower the incidence of violent crime of these women and Johns who suffer violence within the black market trade.
And a prison. There'll be less people going to prison that taxpayers
right.
would pay for in sort of a way.
Yep, that's true as well. And the police can focus on actual real crimes with victims.
They could, in theory. Yeah.
I mean, that's why the police are really against all this kind of stuff, is because there's going to be a lot less need for police.
I remember the decrim proposal here, it got like 150 votes in favor of it, and that was its first time out. Mm-hmm. So, like, as far as a starting point is concerned, remember, New Hampshire has 400 state reps, so that's not quite half,
right.
But it's not a small number of positive, you know, votes in the state house.
It's horrible. My immediate thought is, I wonder how many of the free stater reps are the ones who were like, we can't have this.
I hope they would have voted for it, but you never know.
Yeah, you never know. Anyway.
But yeah, New York State was another one that they mentioned.
Yes.
Yeah. So what else do you want to share from that?
So it goes on here to say, this is about the oldest profession and understanding that we haven't been able to deter it or end it in millennia.
Nope.
Said Senator Jessica Ramos, one of the plan's backers. So I think it's time to confront reality. New York legislation appeared unlikely to pass in the coming months, but the idea of decriminalization has already amassed a growing coterie of prominent supporters, suggesting that it might continue to gain traction.
The more you propose the thing, the more traction it will likely gain, because it has taken, here in New Hampshire, the state government is very slow to change. It's very conservative in that way. Even though it's, you know, Democrats mostly right now in New Hampshire state representatives, it's still super slow to try to change things around here.
Supporters of decriminalization see their efforts as part of a larger, decades-long liberalization of American mores.
Let me interrupt you again. Reason.com's front page story, Kamala Harris is a cop who wants to be president. So how interesting to actually have a cop say, can you read that quote again? Because it's actually surprisingly good.
When you're talking about, well, and it also might be one of these things, like now that she's running for president, it's just like George Bush, right? Let me say the biggest lie I can possibly tell that will get me elected, because
then,
I'm the most giant liar now.
Right.
In order to be president, I have to say the exact opposite of what I believe, because that's what's going to get you elected,
and
right?
And that's what she was trained to do as
like
cop.
George Bush, it's like, I'm going to promote freedom, no new taxes. Like, what else can we say? Like,
no nation building. Remember that
one? You can keep your health care plan. You can take that to the bank, right? Like, what's the biggest lie that you can tell? And that's what they're going to run on to win for president.
Still,
right?
Read it again, though. It was pretty good.
While you're talking about consenting adults, I think that, yes, we should really consider that we can't criminalize consensual behavior as long as no one is being harmed. So be prepared, if she gets into office, for her to criminalize all of the consensual behavior.
Ramp
imagine
up the
any
war
consensual
on drugs.
Behavior that you can think of that might have a hint of criminalness.
Right.
To it, she'll make it illegal. I'm pretty sure.
Well, during her 28-year tenure as a county prosecutor, this according to Reason.com, this is their cover story. I happen to know that because somebody apparently subscribed us to Reason. The Reason magazine's been coming here for the last couple months.
Yeah.
It was on the table over there, but I don't know if it still is. Anyway, that's how I saw this story, and it says here that during her 28-year tenure as a county prosecutor, I don't really need to go any further. I mean, that's bad enough news that she was a prosecutor for 28 years, because usually those people are constantly prosecuting cases like prostitutes and drug dealers and other people who, you know, are victimless criminals. But it goes on. District attorney and even state attorney general. So she was the top cop, the top boss of all the cops in whatever state she comes from. I'm not sure what that is. But this lady's bad news. Harris proved being quite willing to live up to the epithet. In the public eye, she spoke of racial justice and liberal values, bolstering her cred as one of the Democratic Party's rising stars. But behind closed doors, she repeatedly fought for more aggressive prosecution of not just violent criminals, but of people who committed misdemeanors and quality of life crimes. Every attorney general fights for state power and police prerogatives. It's part of the job.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.